Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning. My guest this morning is Morrill County District Attorney Justin Nelson. Give us an update on some of the things happening in Morrill County.
Well, you know, it has been a busy time, particularly, I would say, for our Morrill County Clerk, Bobby Childers. She's been our clerk for, so many years, ever since I've been here as district attorney. This is definitely was a busy time and still is a very busy time for her. And I just wanted to talk about it because I sit back here and watch all the work that her and her office does right now and how busy they are, and realizing that for me, prior to becoming district attorney, prior to doing a lot of our county council civil work, I always thought, well, elections are one day, right? We have the primary election here at the end of May. It's a one-day thing, so you're really busy for one day, but then it's, you know, not too busy at all. And now I've realized, you know, kind of working this job, that no, this is a month-long or more, month-and-a-half-long process. You have to remember that Oregon allows mail-in voting. So when you have the mail-in voting, pretty much that's what we do in Oregon. Those ballots go out several weeks, about 2 weeks, I think, or so, before the election occurs. And so when those ballots, that means you have to prepare the ballots, get those ready to get sent out, and then once those go out, every day you're gathering the ballots that are dropped off in a drop box. You're processing those every single day. So it's not a one-day thing. You're already 2 or 3 weeks prior to the election working on that. And it's not just our clerk's office. She has several great volunteers to help her, I know, during all of our different elections. And so you have gathering the ballots, and then on election day, you'll have the vote come in, the unofficial results are posted, and many people assume, oh, those are the results, the election's over. And that's not the case at all for Oregon. Oregon recently changed the law where instead of having to have your ballots in on election day, you can actually have them postmarked by election day. Well, anyone who's done mail in our rural areas knows you might put that, you know, that letter in the post office box, but then it usually goes to Portland, process, and get brought back for delivery. So those ballots might not get in for several days after the election, and then they're processed. And then it doesn't end there, because next you'll have issues where maybe questions arise about the signature. You know, every time you sign the signature in the back of the envelope, verifying that the signature matches. If it doesn't, or there's an issue with the ballot, those voters are notified and they have a certain amount of time to correct that ballot or come in for verification of the signature. So again, we're talking 2 or 3 weeks, I think about 21 days after the elections when it can actually be certified. And so that process was just finished up, I believe, recently for the primary election, but our clerk's office has been busy also, because during this time of the election, right when those initial ballots were being sent out, I believe, for the primary election, recall petitions that had been gathering signatures for the recall of Morrill County commissioners were submitted to the Morrill County clerk. And as a part of that, she has to verify the signatures on a recall petition, make sure that they are valid Morrill County voters, also making sure that a sufficient number have been received to actually initiate a vote on a recall. So recently, she was able to go through and verify that there was sufficient signatures for a recall. I think she did that on June 12th. And that, of course, starts certain timelines, because it has to occur within a certain amount of time after those signatures are verified. She notifies the commissioners and did notify them. They had the option to either resign or give a justification and ask for to go forward, and all three have decided, you know, they want to go forward still as commissioners, and so this will go to the vote of Morrill County voters on whether the recall will occur. Looks like that is being set for July 22nd, and so right now that'd be on July 22nd. The county will mail ballots to the residents on July 2nd. Once that occurs on July 22nd, it's not done on July 22nd. Just like I talked about, those votes will then have 21 days to be processed, and that's the timeline. So you have the July 22nd, and then 21 days for it to determine whether the validity of the votes and actually certify that election. And once that is done, then the recall, if it is successful, is completed at that point. And that point, if they are recalled, going through the process of putting another person into that position. So that was an interesting update that I saw from Morrill County. It's just the time and the work that the clerk's office does. And that I know a lot of times people think the clerks handle, you know, documentation. You submit your deeds, you know, your different government documents to them for records. But elections take up so much time nowadays. And it's a very complicated process. And with the Oregon's vote by mail, it just takes a much longer time than I think people realize. So again, great job by the Morrill County Clerk handling two elections at once, really. And so bravo for that.
There's more to come. Stay with us.
At McKay Creek Estates, they know that the best food comes from the heart. Their dining program, A Taste of Prestige, is crafted by their talented culinary teams and tailored to the nutritional needs of older adults. They use fresh ingredients and local flavors to prepare healthy, mouthwatering meals their residents love. It's one more way they help older adults celebrate life at every age. For more about dining at Prestige Senior Living, visit tasteofprestige.com. Again, that's tasteofprestige.com.
Join Team Wild every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wild Horse Resort and Casino will have a walk-in career event. Come meet the friendly team members for on-the-spot interviews. Wild Horse Resort and Casino has more benefits, including group health, vision, and dental, 10 paid holidays, paid birthday, vacation, and sick leave, employer 7% 401k match, education reimbursement, free meal on shift, and more. So come visit Human Resources on Wednesday for on-the-spot interviews and possible job offers. Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton.
Did you know the City of Pendleton Transportation Program offers two deviated fixed bus routes, demand response services with daily van and taxi tickets, and transportation options for students at Pendleton High School and BMCC? To learn more about these transit programs, schedules, maps, phone apps, and riders' rights and responsibilities, go to the City of Pendleton website and click on the Departments tab to find the link for the transit page. Also, check them out on Facebook at Pendleton Transit.
News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA. Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon.
Talking this morning with Morrill County District Attorney Justin Nelson. Talk about Morrill County's progress as we move closer to recriminalizing narcotics like methamphetamine and fentanyl.
I guess this is really kind of a reminder. You know, kind of the beginning part is that during this last legislative session, the legislature passed House Bill 4002. That bill basically ended the decriminalization of drugs in Oregon. Oregon was kind of at the forefront, deciding that we should decriminalize drugs, make it a violation, which basically, let's make it like a speeding ticket that's even less than a speeding ticket, where the fine can be $100 that is waived if you call a hotline, even if you just call. Now if you get services. And that somehow is going to fix the drug issue we have here in Oregon. Well, I would say that failed very strongly. And I think people had very good ideas on it, hoping that it would help, but they realized very quickly this was not the solution for Oregon, and it made things worse. And so that, during this last legislative session, a bipartisan group went together passing this bill, which rolled that back, which made the possession of drugs, again, a criminal offense of meth and fentanyl in Oregon. And starting, effective at September 1st. So even though the bill was passed already, that decriminalization is not in place yet. So effective September 1st, the possession of hard drugs like fentanyl and methamphetamines will be a misdemeanor, more comparable. It's called an unclassified misdemeanor, but it's comparable to a Class B misdemeanor, where you have up to 6 months in jail, a certain fine that can be allocated. However, the focus of the bill was really still trying to get folks into treatment. And this is, by criminalizing it, we're trying to give an incentive for individuals to seek treatment. The law set aside about $21 million in funding to incentivize counties and tribal governments also to deflect drug users from jail time and connecting them to treatment and recovery services. The idea being if the counties agreed to implement this, that a deflection program would pretty much keep people out of the criminal justice system, and if they were successful in their treatment, the case is never charged and doesn't go forward. And so the legislature provided funding for the counties to kind of create these programs. Morrill County received, and I guess I'll just say Morrill County was one of the 23 counties in the state that signed letters committing to prioritize deflection over incarceration. Details of that program really were left up to each county. So Morrill County's program can be very different than, let's say, Umatilla or Clackamas counties, which makes sense because of the, you know, the funding we receive and the resources we have for treatment. Morrill County has received, I think, are receiving $150,000 up front for this year to get this program up and running, and is set to receive $75,000 each year after to help kind of run the deflection and diversion program. Morrow County is also in the process and thinking about using some of the funding we've received from a class action lawsuit that the county had against pharmaceutical companies. It's basically an opioid fund where there is opioid addiction, where there was class action lawsuits against the pharmaceutical companies. A part of that, settlements were agreed to, and that the county's been receiving money that has to be used for certain drug treatment. And as a part of this, we have this money built up, and we think it would be important for us to use that funding maybe to help this deflection or diversion program. And so right now, of course, this is, we're in the stages of trying to plan what this program will be like. And that's one thing I kind of dislike about the House Bill 4002, is that the rush we have to try to have something in place by September 1st. That's a pretty short timeline to have a whole new system set up in place. And it's been a struggle, I'll say. I mean, we've had some great folks. I definitely appreciate all the work that Community Counseling Solutions has done to help us. Our local public safety coordinating councils also worked on. And I want to thank Umatilla County. They've reached out and may try to work on a joint program together to kind of, you know, combine our funding. It's still a work in progress. We're not done yet. We still have to submit the grant, our proposal for the state to get the additional funding, but we're working towards it. It's just a very short timeline to do. And I think the thought process for Morrow County, too, is to decide what kind of program will this be? And there's really two types. The term we've heard a lot, if you listen to and read the bill, is a term called deflection. The idea of deflection is that this citation for drug possession never goes to the DA office or the court, that it's with the law enforcement officer working with somebody else to say, hey, do you want, it looks like you'd be eligible for this program for deflection. Here, we'll take you over to treatment, and if you complete this treatment successfully, whatever that means exactly, then the case will never go to the DA, and it's never being charged, basically. And it can be expunged from the record. That's one idea of deflection. The other one is diversion. I think people know this idea of diversion more because you see it quite a bit for drunk driving offenses. Many individuals who have never been convicted or charged with drunk driving, if they have been arrested, are eligible for what's called a diversion program, where they're charged in court, but then they are given that opportunity in the statute to apply for this diversion program, and if successful with alcohol treatment and those conditions, the case is dismissed. So with a diversion program, the difference is, first deflection, is with diversion, the case is still charged by the district attorney office, and it still goes to the court, and the person is still arraigned in court. But at that arraignment, they may be given the option to enter a diversion program. So that might be an option also that that we look at for our drug cases. Of course, the issue I have to look at for the future is, while the statute, I believe, right now can allow this diversion program, I do worry, of course, that in the next legislative session, the legislature may think, oh, no, we don't want to allow diversions. Why is that? Because it still uses court staff time. We are still appointing an attorney for those cases. We're still using court time for the arraignment. And I know the legislature's intent with these was to hopefully never have these go to the court and use court time and resources. So while the statute itself allows it now, I would be worried that we created a program that was successful for diversion, that the legislature may decide to stop funding these diversion programs and instead say, no, no, we only want deflection. So right now we're trying to balance that out to see what best program might work for Morrow County, and also see, can we work with, you know, work together with Umatilla County. Remember, we use the same mental health and addiction treatment providers. You know, our primary one is Community Counseling Solutions. And so we both utilize Community Counseling Solutions now. So maybe it makes sense to work together, use, you know, pool our resources together, be able to hire more individuals to help with treatment and this deflection program. Because deflection isn't just sometimes in our program drug treatment. It may be wraparound services, trying to work with housing, trying to work with jobs, things like that. Make this person have options, not just living on the street, not just with the addiction, but work with the addiction issue, but also give them some support. And so I think working together might be beneficial, but that'll be the decision for our joint group. It's not just the decision of the district attorney. This is a decision that we're going to agree upon with local law enforcement, with our county commissioners, with other Community Counseling Solutions, and basically other agencies in the county. It's not something I can just decide. I think we all have to be on the same page and in agreement. So that's what we've been working on. We've had several meetings already. We've had a joint meeting with Umatilla County. We've gone to Salem for conference on deflection programs. So we're doing our part. It's just a very short timeline on it.
How will House Bill 4002 affect your office?
You know, I guess that's been brought up, the idea of, you know, gosh, isn't this going to add so many more cases? We've recriminalized drug use. It's going to get busy in the office. And I just strongly disagree with that. While I can't know for sure how many new cases we'll have, I can look at the past. I can see what this was like when we were criminalized as misdemeanor charges. And these truly did not take much time at the office. As a misdemeanor case, there's no need for grand jury. Because it's not a felony charge, that we got these cases, but they're fairly straightforward cases. They did not take a lot of our office time. The only thing they would take more time of, maybe a little bit more court staff time, and the use of defense attorneys. And also the determination whether the court or the defense attorney is going to require drug testing to be done on the item seized. So an example, let's say we have a meth pipe, and the pipe, or even a small bag of methamphetamines, and the officer on the scene does what's called a presumptive NIC test. A presumptive test, put a little bit in a vial. If the color changes, it's presumptive methamphetamines, we'll say. Usually we can go forward with the NIC, that presumptive test, but many times at trial, the defense attorney wants this actually tested by the Oregon State Police Crime Lab. They want an official test done. Well, that is the issue where it's backlogged. So if those are required, this testing, which I don't think should be necessary, but it is required, then that would be delayed more from the lab tech issue. The DA office side, it will not be a strain to our office. And to be clear, it's never been a strain to our office, these past drug cases. What has been a strain, I'll say, is recently the decriminalization, of course, has led, I would say, to more property crimes. Just think about this. We have a decriminalization. We have seen drug use increase throughout the state. People feel free to use openly, knowing nothing really happened to them. We have more drug addicts, and those who are addicted to drugs have to feed that habit somehow. It's not just something they get for free. And sadly, many of them, of course, do not keep down jobs. They're not able to, you know, fully work a job full-time or have stable housing. So to feed this habit, they steal. So we'll see increase of theft cases. You'll see increase of maybe metal theft, wire theft from construction sites, equipment being taken, broken into. And this is tied to feeding a drug addiction. So I have seen those cases increase. That has been a strain in my office. Those cases are far more difficult. Trying to even find the perpetrators of a theft is difficult. Trying to prove those cases, prove that the person knew items were stolen property they had in their possession, those are time consuming. Those are difficult. The drug cases are far easier for the office to handle. So I'm not worried about the strain. I'm actually looking forward to hopefully reducing our property crimes by recriminalizing drugs here in Oregon.
We're going to take a break. There's more to come right after these words.
If you're having a hard time fixing something, or you're stuck on what to do next, or maybe you aren't sure what you need to do to get started, take a picture and head down to Zimmerman & Company True Value to get some assistance.
We always recommend take several pictures of your project. Bring that in so that we can take a look at your pictures, because a picture goes a long ways, and then most of the time we can figure out what the problem is and how to fix it.
Zimmerman & Company True Value, open 7 days a week on Main Street in downtown Pendleton.
If you received a letter from the city of Pendleton about backflow testing or cross connections, then your backflow device needs to be tested by a certified tester. The state of Oregon requires all backflow devices be tested annually and mandates the city track those tests. To find a certified tester to keep you in compliance with state rules, go to the city of Pendleton's website at pendletonor.gov and search backflow, or follow the links from the city of Pendleton's Facebook page. Thanks.
What destination is on your bucket list? The Walla Walla Regional Airport can get you there with 101 one-stop destinations through Seattle. Is salmon fishing in Alaska reeling you in? Or experiencing a professional rodeo at the Calgary Stampede? Check out your bucket list destinations on alaskaair.com and be sure to enter ALW to start your trip from your home airport, where you always have free parking. Book your tickets today and fly Walla Walla.
let's get back to the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, presented by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon.
My guest this morning is Morrow County District Attorney Justin Nelson. Are there any major criminal cases coming up for hearings or trials in the coming months?
So a recent case we had here in Morrow County was an arrest on a secret indictment. The defendant is Cruz Almos Beltran. And this is basically a case, kind of want to talk about old cases that are still hanging out there. So this was a case, a Blue Mountain Enforcement Narcotics Team Drug Task Force case back from 2015-2016. This defendant was indicted through a secret indictment by the Morrow County Grand Jury with charges of delivery of meth to an undercover informant on four different occasions. And these type of cases, a lot of times, old, maybe all the cases from this informant might have been brought together looking for secret indictments. And I'm not sure if it's this case, but in other cases we've had is where you'll have maybe it brought before the Morrow and Umatilla counties at the same time. They'll receive indictments from maybe many different defendants. And then that time, they'll try to arrest the defendants all at the same time. So instead of just being a secret indictment where you have a warrant outstanding and that they try to pick up the defendant whenever they find them, which could take months or years, they try to pick them up all on the same day. That way, maybe one defendant doesn't tip off someone else saying, hey, you better run. They're looking for folks. In this case, Ms. Beltran was able to elude arrest for almost 9 years now and was recently picked up and was brought back here to Morrow County for these charges. So right now, this case is just starting out again. Even though this might be an old case, it's still brand new for her and her defense attorney. Right now, they are just getting the discovery, reviewing it. They have their own investigation to do. So this case, even though it is older, is treated like any other case, has the same timelines at this point. So right now, there's being held in custody. She has the right for a trial within 60 days. And if released, there's even more time. She can waive her right to a 60-day trial and go on for her investigation. So we're just beginning stages, but it's kind of interesting with this case is how long these warrants can be outstanding for, in this case, 9 years. But it's also very interesting to see how Oregon law has changed so much during these years. You go back in time where that possession of drug, when this offense around this time was occurred, and possession of even, possession of methamphetamine on a meth pipe was a felony charge. Then Oregon reduces it to a misdemeanor charge, then change it to a violation that has a penalty less than a speeding ticket. Now the pendulum is swinging back, and we are now back to it being a misdemeanor charge. So it's just interesting during these years how much Oregon has changed and how we treat it and look at drug charges. So hopefully we're getting back to the point where we're trying to hold these offenders accountable and can hold them. I mean, we always try to, but really, do we have the tools in place to hold them accountable for these type of drug charges, possession or delivery? And I think we're getting to that point.
I appreciate that. And we've actually come to the end of our time together here. My guest this morning, Morrow County District Attorney Justin Nelson. Justin, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.